All right, so get this. Today we're diving into some seriously out there territory. Psychokinesis, moving stuff with your mind like some kind of superpower.
Like straight out of science fiction.
Right. But we've got these excerpts from, get this, a declassified CIA document talking about exactly that.
And it really gets into how this whole PK thing might not be as crazy as it sounds. Like, we move our bodies every day,
Boy,
right?
yeah.
So this document, it connects that to PK. Like, maybe it's all part of the same, I don't know, ability.
Okay, so like I pick up my coffee, totally effortless, but spinning a compass needle with my thoughts, completely different. How do they even relate?
Right. Well, the document mentions this paper way back in 47 by Thewlis and Wiesner. They were saying, what if PK is basically just like external volition?
External volition. So instead of moving my arm, I'm moving something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that potential is already inside us. Maybe we just haven't figured out how to like aim it outward.
Okay, that's kind of blowing my mind. But even if I buy that, there's a huge difference. I can move my hand whenever I want, reliably. PK, that's like when the stars align, right? Unpredictable.
Totally. This document, it's not shying away from the differences. It even says straight up, PK is a pain to study scientifically. Like it's so rare, so hard to, create the right conditions.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever bent any spoons with my mind, no matter how hard I try.
And it's not just about trying hard either. The descriptions of PK, it's always more like wishing, intending, not like consciously controlling each little
You're right,
movement.
like those poltergeist stories, it's always linked to what, strong emotions, not some puppet master moving stuff around.
Exactly. So even if there's this connection to normal movement, it's working in a totally different way.
Okay, so let's say, just for fun, that there, I say a connection. Where do we even start to see it?
Well, the document, it says that both regular movement and PK, they're goal-oriented.
Goal oriented, go on.
Like when you reach for your coffee, you're not thinking bicep contract 10%, now tricep, you just grab it.
So you're saying maybe with PK, you're focusing on the outcome, the object moving, without consciously controlling how it gets there.
Right. And here's the other thing. The document talks about feedback. Super important for both. Your muscles, they tell your brain where your hand is, you see it moving.
Feedback. Okay. But with PK, that can't be physical. Yeah.
Exactly. So is there another kind of feedback happening? Something we don't understand yet? The document even mentions these observational theories of PK.
Observational theories. Lay that on me.
So these theories, they say that, and this is going to sound weird, but actually seeing the outcome you want, that's somehow crucial for it to happen.
Hold on, are we going full quantum physics here,
Yeah.
where just looking at something changes it?
Well, some physicists would say yes, but even without going that deep, it makes you wonder, like, what if our normal senses, the way we see the world, it's actually preventing us from tapping into this other stuff, this PK potential? It's like we're blind to it,
Yeah. Okay. So how do we get unblinded? If we want to go from like just observing to actually, making stuff happen.
Well, this is where the document brings up biofeedback, and it gets really interesting.
Biofeedback. Okay. Yeah. I've heard of that. It's like all the rage now, right?
Yeah.
But just to catch everyone up, what is it exactly?
So basically, biofeedback is like, you know how we can't really control our heart rate directly or our brain waves?
Right.
Biofeedback, it's like learning to do exactly that.
So, like, if I'm freaking out about something, I can just, what, think my way to a slower heart rate?
Pretty much. It's all about this feedback loop. They hook you up to sensors and they show you in real time what your body's doing, like literally seeing your heart rate go down because you're, I don't know, visualizing a beach or something.
Okay, I kind of see where this is going. Like, if we can learn to control our insides that we thought were totally on autopilot.
Exactly. It kind of breaks down that barrier
Yeah.
between what's voluntary and involuntary. In this document, it talks about passive volition, which is key to this whole thing.
Passive volition.
It's like you're not forcing your heart to slow down, It's more like finding that mental state where it just
Yeah.
happens naturally.
Whoa. Okay. And that's supposed to be like PK how?
Because descriptions of people who can supposedly DOPK, it's always the same thing. Not straining, not concentrating super hard, more like a relaxed focus, letting it happen.
Okay, I can almost wrap my head around that, but come on, we're talking about actual superpowers here, like bending spoons with your mind.
Right, and that's where the document throws in these cases like Swami Rama and Jack Schwartz.
I've heard those names. Weren't they like those yogis who could control their body temperature and stuff?
Yeah, Swami Rama, they studied him at like a real lab, the Menninger Institute. He could, get this, create a 10-degree difference between two spots on his hand. Just by, like, thinking about it.
No way. Seriously. Like, that's not even humanly possible.
That's what they thought. But they measured it, the whole thing. And not just that. He could slow his heart rate down to almost nothing.
Okay, that's just nuts. What about this Jack Schwartz guy? What was his deal?
Schwartz, he was all about pain immunity. Like, researchers would poke him with needles, and he wouldn't even flinch. No bleeding, no infection, nothing.
Right, that's kind of freaking me out now. But, okay, so we've got these, like, extreme examples of mind-body stuff. What's the connection to regular people trying to, you know, move a dice with their minds?
That's the question, right? The document, it doesn't just leave it at anecdotes. It talks about this study by John Basmadjian in 72. He was doing this thing called electromyography.
Electromyo what now?
It's how they measure muscle activity. So Basmadjian, he combined that with biofeedback.
Okay.
So he trained people to control single motor units in their muscles. Like, usually we move whole muscles, right? This is way more precise.
So instead of move my arm, it's like, twitch this one tiny muscle fiber.
Exactly. And get this. The people doing it, they couldn't explain HLW. They just thought about it and it happened.
Whoa. Okay, so maybe there's this whole level of control we have that's usually unconscious, but with biofeedback, it's like we can tap into it.
And maybe, just maybe, that same control, that's how PK works too. We just need to figure out the right, you know, feedback loop.
All right, so we've got normal movement, then biofeedback, and somewhere out there, PK. Is this all connected somehow?
The document seems to think so. And it gets even weirder with this thing called allobiofeedback.
Allobiofeedback. Now you're just making up words.
I wish. No, this is straight from the CIA. Basically, it's biofeedback, but instead of controlling your own WN body, you're trying to influence someone LSE's.
Wait, seriously? Like making someone's heart race with my mind?
Exactly. The document talks about this experiment by William Broad in 77. He was the sender, and he was trying to influence the receiver's galvanic skin response.
Their what?
Galvanic skin response. It's like how much they're sweating, basically.
Yeah.
A measure of stress.
So did it work? Was he like mentally stressing people out?
The results were actually statistically significant, meaning
yep.
There was a link between what Broad was intending and what the other person's body was doing.
No way. Okay, so that's it. Allobiofeedback, case closed. Kike is real.
Hold your horses. The document, it does say that there could be other explanations. Like maybe it's telepathy, not PK. But still, it's pretty wild to think about, right?
So influencing someone's stress levels from across the room, that's a lot to process. Why does this even fit in with, like, normal science? This isn't exactly in my physics textbook.
You're telling me. This document, it actually sums up the usual scientific view. And it's basically volition, illusion. Your brain's a computer, no room for a mind to mess with matter.
So no superpowers allowed, huh?
Well, not so fast. They bring up this guy, Sir John Eccles, a big shot neurophysiologist.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hold on, the mind isn't just along for the ride. It actually does stuff in the brain.
Okay, interesting. So how does that work then? If it's not just my brain deciding to move my arm, where does my mind come in?
So there's this experiment by a guy named Kornhuber. People had to make like voluntary movements, you know, whenever they felt like it. But they were hooked up to brain scanners.
Right, so they can see what's happening in the brain before you move.
Exactly. And Kornhuber, he finds this burst of activity a split second before the movement actually starts.
So doesn't that just mean the brain was getting ready to move?
That's what most people thought. But Eccles, he's like, hang on, look at the timing. That tiny gap right before. It's like the mind made the decision, then the brain kicked in.
Okay, I think I see what you mean. Like there's this little bit of space for, I don't know, a mind to make the call, even if we can't measure the mind itself.
Right. Eccles even thought maybe the mind works on the brain through these, like, fields of influence, basically affecting how the neurons fire in ways we don't get yet.
Wild, but also kind of cool, right? Like, we've been so busy studying the brain itself, we forgot to look for what's actually, like, running the show.
And if that's true, it changes everything about how we see PK. This document, it throws out these crazy questions like, what if stopping normal movement could actually make PK stronger?
Wait, what? You mean like if my brain isn't busy moving my body, it's got more power to move other stuff?
Maybe. Or what if it's the opposite? The document talks about how when people spontaneously DOPK, they're usually hyped up, right? Lots of energy.
Right, like in those poltergeist stories again.
Yeah.
Not exactly calm, meditative vibes.
Exactly. So what if all that mental energy, it kind of spills over, starts affecting the world around them because it's so intense.
So instead of quieting the mind, it's more like learning to focus all that energy like a laser beam onto the object you want to move.
Right. And this reminds me of that research by Charles Honnerton. He was looking at biofeedback, specifically if people who could control their alpha brainwaves.
Alpha brainwaves, those are the like relaxed meditative ones, right?
Yep. Honnerton thought maybe those people, they'd be better at influencing stuff outside their bodies too.
So it all comes back to biofeedback, learning to control your insides. Maybe, just maybe, that somehow lets you affect the outside world too.
It's a wild thought. This document, it's more about questions than answers,
yeah.
You know? But they're good questions. Like, what if we DO have this potential, this PK ability just waiting to be unlocked? What would that mean for, well, everything? Yes, we'll have to keep digging for those answers.
I don't know about you, but my mind is officially blown. Until next time, keep those theories coming, and we'll see you on the next Deep Dive.